You hate advertising. I hate advertising. You have to listen to the Sunranto Show with advertising because you are not a Patreon supporter. Patreon supporters get the Sunranto Show without advertising. So why not join the 100+ people that have given us at least $1 a month and supported the Sunranto Show? You've come this far. Go that extra step and become a patron at patreon.com/sunranto. Please. You hate advertising. I hate it too. Come on. Stop making things supported with ads. Here's the show.
Cubby blue blood flowing through our veins. Sitting in the bleachers in the rain. We've shed a million tears and drank as many old style beers out at the game. Let's go, Cubby Sunranto. Sunranto. Sunranto and the lovable loser. Sunranto. Sunranto. Sunranto and the lovable losers. Sunranto.
Sunranto!
Oh, you're coming in hot. Welcome to the Sunranto Show, brought to you by the Bleacher Bunch Productions on the Fan First Network, and of course, our 108 paid Patreon supporters. Thank you to Terry, who joined on this month. You can find out more about how you can become a member of the Sunranto Show at patreon.com/sunranto. Of course, this show is also brought to you by our special sponsors, like Matt Kammerer's Permanent Paintings and In the Clutch t-shirts, which I'm wearing one right now. Look at that. I got my Morel Destroyer shirt on because we got to get him back. You know, I mean, now that he's good at defense, he hits like a defense. He hits like a defense glove first kind of guy. But also our show is brought to you by our super duper ranters known as Blake Beard, Rogue Wave Creative, and Mike Waller, and his Cubs PS Plus podcast, also on the Bleacher Bunch Productions. And he's been doing Cubs Pod. The dude is awesome. Hashtag Chance in the chat. What can I say? What a freaking West Coast series. One game over 500. That's like freaking Christmas Day and Easter and 4th of July and Memorial Day all rolled into one is a winning West Coast series. Oh my God.
And they did it with like out their best pitchers. All their pitchers. Everybody's dying. People are falling. They're pulling legs. Suzuki goes down with a lat midway.
They're all hurt.
Everything's going horrible, and yet we come out one game above 500.
Yeah, Hap's been in a slump. What does he do? Hits a grand slam, still loses the game, but still, we won't talk about that. But no,
we have things to say.
Bellinger was—he hasn't been real, you know, getting going so far yet. He was batting under 200 for a while. He hits a dunk today, so like, it's kind of how a baseball team's supposed to work. It's like, say it goes down, your best pitchers go down, and guys come up and they pick up the slack from who went down. And that's what has been happening. That's why you win the West Coast road trip. There were some questionable things that happened, but we'll get all into it. But hashtag chance in the chat. I did mention that, but I should mention it again. If you want to win a Frank Chance postcard sent to you by me with a message of love and doom, I'm going to get him out the door this week. That's my plan. I got a whole backlog, but hashtag chance in the chat right now.
Oh man, talking about backlogs. I think I've got three or four series of poems to do.
Oh, which I didn't know where you were going with.
I've got three or four series of it's a different backlog. And then I've also got Cubsler winners. This weekend my wife is going out of town. Ooh. And I'm just going to sit and like record Cubsler winner voicemails all weekend.
They pile up, right? You're like, I'll get to it. I feel that way about the chance. And all of a sudden, one afternoon, I'm like writing out 22 postcards being like, so.
Yeah, you're like, oh, I got a week. Exactly. I can get this done in a week. No problem. Yeah, this is not my full-time job.
Yeah, exactly. So let's talk about these series. Unfortunately, we should mention Infield Fly Girl not able to be here. It's 3:30 where she is right now. It she can't be here today because she's got to work. I've got to go down to the theater. I've got a show in Nana. We're putting in an understudy, so they need me. So I got to go down there at 7 o'clock tonight. So that's why we're going early. We will try to get back to some sort of normal schedule, whatever the hell that is, next week, I guess. But we should talk about, she was at those Mariners games, seemed to have a really good time. Cubs win 2 of 3 out there against the scuffling Mariners team. Like, frankly, everybody was batting like 100 on the Mariners. Their entire team has the name Mitch somehow. Everybody on their
Mitch or Raley.
Yeah, Mitch, Raley, or Riley on the team. So that's their first problem. They've got no diversity with even the naming of the players, let alone the offense. And, yeah, they weren't very good. Cubs looked kind of slow in the first game, and then they picked it up, and they looked better in the other games. I'll put up the
– Yeah, the Mariners did not look very good, but who was the pitcher in that first game? Because that first game, was it Bryce or something? I can't remember.
Yeah, there was a bunch of no-names that we faced for the most part.
Yeah, well, it was young guys, right? And that young pitcher that the Mariners threw out there, Miller. Yeah, he was good. Like, he was cruising. He looked really good, and the Cubs struggled against him because of it.
Mm-hmm. And that first game, that was Wicks. If he pitched today, looked a lot better today. Not that Wicks has looked particularly bad. He just hasn't been efficient, which has killed the bullpen at times. You needed the bullpen not to be more killed.
And that's what happened that night, because I think Wicks was out of the game at, like, 95 pitches or something after the fourth, and the Miller kid, I think, went into the seventh. You know, I mean, that makes a big difference over the course of a season. Maybe not so much right this moment. I mean, it is right this moment because our bullpen sucks.
Yeah.
But
and the other injury we're not even talking about is the setup guy, Merriweather, who is more than a setup man, really, in many respects. You lose that first game 4-2. You win the second one 4-1. So they're just not really hitting. And then you win the second one 3-2. They're close games, but you pull them out. And that was the issue last year. That's what my takeaway on it is that you were able to pull out these close games. And then, and this is after losing 2 of 3 to the Padres. Should have taken 2 of 3, but you blew an 8-run lead last week. And, these things happen. I'm still not over it. And then you get to the Diamondbacks series this week. Cubs usually play like total ass in Arizona. This time it was only so in one game, but they look good. They won a 3-2 game today. They won a 5-2 game today. They won a 3-2 game yesterday. Actually, 5-3 was
well,
the final.
Well, Danny, let's be clear here. Two of these games were ties. There was no winner. Those are exhibition innings that they play after the ninth when they get into clown ball.
Yeah.
I want to rant real quick. Do the percentages for me. The Cubs should now be 10-4-3. 10-4-3. Tell me what the percentage is, and I want to see where that would actually hold up versus what their actual winning percentage at 6-11 is.
I don't know, but it's less.
Well, and that's why I'm asking. That's what I want to know just where they might actually.
And I'll go in. Well, as long as we're living in fantasy land, let me go. let me go a step further and say the Cubs should never have lost that game last night when Ian Happ hit the grand slam. And because the bullpen is so freaking tired and they cannot hold the lead to save their lives, unless you fly them up on no sleep from Iowa, then you can be good, apparently. So that's the secret sauce, apparently. Don't let the bullpen pitcher sleep, because if they travel all night like Hayden Wesneski did today, you got no problems. These guys, they can't think about how they're going to suck in the game, and then they just do well. But
the issue is Hayden Wesneski will be terrible tomorrow. He better be not even available, because tomorrow will be he may not even wake up tomorrow.
Well, we have the math, too, on that winning percentage from Chris Solotto, 69% on the dot. Nice. It's amazing.
I told that put him in first place.
So, but I'll go a step further in saying, as long as we're living in fantasy land, I'm going to count the Padres' blown 8-run lead as a win, because that should have been our game. And I'm also going to count last night as a win because when Ian Happ hits a home run late in the game,
What I'm actually talking about is something that actually happened, and that is they made it through a full nine innings, and the score was tied before they started to play exhibition baseball with the Manfred man and the insane runner stuff.
I agree that having a free man on base is stupid, and I've heard some other things. And Cubs have played a lot of extra inning games this year, maybe more than other teams. Three, that seems like a lot for only 2 weeks of baseball. That's like at more than 1 week. So, but here's my, or it's about 1 a week right now is what we're averaging at. But here's my feeling, and I heard this in the bleachers. What about in the 10th, it's straight baseball, extra innings. In the 11th, runner on first. Second, in the 12th, runners on first and second. In the, you know, and then you keep going, then you have bases loaded. You know, after that, you just keep going. And the thing I'll tell you I kind of like about extra innings in one way is that it's instant pressure. And one thing that if a runner on first, you're going to play that differently, that strategy, you're going to play that differently than a runner on second in scoring position with no force. You're going to play that differently. And so if it gets harder each time, maybe even instead of bases loaded, you start with a runner on third. You know, like that runner will almost always score. But your strategy as a team with like a leadoff triple, sometimes you can keep that runner from scoring. You know, sometimes you can do it. But
if you really want, and this was not my idea, and I can't remember who said it. But if you really want to, A, get these games over with quickly, and B, make it exciting, you just load the bases. And then it's almost never going to get past the 10th inning, because if you do loaded bases, then it's not going to be a situation in which you score one run and then the other team scores one run and then you score one run and then they score one. It's going to be a situation where they score two or they score three or one or whatever. And then the other team does that. It's going to be all these weird numbers that come out of it versus having one runner on base. And I mean, if you're going to just toss out the rules, go all the way. Don't do this half-ass bullshit. Actually go all the way and just fucking put bases loaded. You know what? Don't even allow pitchers. It's a fucking, it's a position player has to play the 10th. Bases are loaded. And let's just see what happens. Throw the fucking rules out and let's just do it.
You're almost there in a weird anyway, because to me, if I'm the manager at that point, I'm setting up the double play 9 out of 10 times. You know, I'm setting up that force at third right away because I feel like my odds go up. Especially if I got somebody that I think a ground ball pitcher on the mound. If I got a ground ball pitcher on the mound, if I got somebody maybe at the plate that's not as fleet of foot as other players, you know, I'm definitely setting up that double play. There are maybe situations where I don't do that. You know, got a real quick runner at first or something like that. You might rethink it or go for the strikeout. A guy that's prone to the strikeout, you might want to try that, or a strikeout pitch. Like, there's different ways you got to think about it. But my point being is I don't like extra inning rules. I'm with you. I think it's bullshit. I think it's fake baseball. Most people feel that way. They hate the Manfred man. But I will say this. It does make for interesting strategy.
I can understand what you're saying there. You could bring in more strategy. The players do tend to like it. But the reason they like it is because they know the game's going to get over sooner rather than later.
Want to go home.
That's the only reason. It's like,
not drunk like us. You know what I mean? Like,
and so in that sense, like if your choice is we have no idea when the game's going to get over or we know the game's going to get over quickly because we have a runner. Like, I understand they're working. They want to get done. But what if you offered them a tie? If you just said, no, it's a tie at the end of nine and nobody ever plays more than nine innings, would the players then like that? Nobody ever asks them that. All they ask them is, well, do you like the Manfred man versus not having a Manfred man? Let's ask the real fucking question. If they just, if all they worry about, and this is all they're really worried about, is just getting the game over with, I would think that they would like a tie, and it wouldn't matter standings.
I don't think they like ties. I think they're just too competitive. Something about the American, it being such an American game. Like, they allow
it's
ties.
It's something about bullshit.
Yeah.
Bullshit.
I know, but I'm just saying how we are. I'm just saying how we are. Because they allowed it.
But that doesn't have to be how we beat.
Those Canadian wusses are just like, oh, let's take our sticks and pucks and go home. What the fuck is a puck anyway? That's like made up shit. that's not a ball. Like, that's something that's in many a sport.
Oh, they were up in Canada. They invented that sport because it was never warm enough to play football, golf, or soccer.
Yeah.
So they're like, what if we just put everything together
on ice?
On ice skates, because the only thing we can do is skate.
Yeah. But then you got, they allow ties in soccer, but they're like, yeah, that's some European stuff. Those guys allow ties. You know, they have the detente, you know, for forever ago. It's just their thing. They have a lot of countries in a small landmass. You got to allow for ties. If you don't, it's World War I and II. That's just how it works. So, all right, let's move on to the next topic, which is Kyle Hendricks. And, you know, he's had a really rough start of the year. A lot of people are like, oh, you know, he's a slow starter, you know. Yeah.
Well, I would say the opposite of being a slow starter is a fast finisher. And he is finishing very quickly. The end of his career is now. I mean, there is no slowness to how quickly he has fallen off, and
time to put that old dog down, says Tim DeHate.
Yeah, it's terrible.
All right, I mean, Kyle, says Bill.
It is so frustrating to see it. And I mean, I get, like, that's who you have right now. So I get that you have to kind of put him out there, especially with Steele down. And, you know, like, you got to put him out there, but you need to be, the front office or management or whoever needs to seriously be looking at the exit strategy, because he just can't do it. He no longer can do what he once did. Like, not even close.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is different than slow start. He made some pitches last night that were so uncompetitive. I mean, it looked like he just, like, lost the grip of the ball, and it just, you know, went way outside. And I was like, wow, that looked weird. It looked like he was hurt. You know, it's like, you know, when a guy throws a weird pitch and everybody's like, what was that? And then the managers and the trainer comes running out. Oh, we saw something.
Oh,
weird.
Like they did with Luke Little. Because he made a weird pitch and they all ran out there. Yeah, that happened.
Yeah. So, it's. That's what Kyle's doing, and that is the more concerning thing, because he's always been, like, repeatable. Everything about him is repeatable. That's what makes him so successful, and why he fools dudes is because it always looks the same, and then it's a different speed or it's somewhere else. And, you know, that the pitching ninja splits on that stuff in Kyle Hendricks. I mean, his face is the same, his arm's the same, and then when you see it look different, it's really noticeable.
We were having, I mean, the Discord, and if you're a Patreon supporter, you get to go in the Discord whenever you want. And if you're not, you can only go in there for game chats. But we were in talking about all of this stuff today, really, you know, lively discussions today. And the thing with Hendo, I was wondering, which I have no idea, but is it possible that he's got a dead arm? Like, we don't think about him having a dead arm because he only throws 88, right? And when I looked at the speeds of his pitches last night, he's hitting 88. That's normal. But it could just be that he's got a dead arm and he's not getting, like, the spin. You know, he's not, for whatever reason, his arm is, because we see guys, they're throwing 98 and then all of a sudden they throw 95 and everybody's like, oh, it's a dead arm. Like, they totally understand what's going on. Well, when your guy's throwing 88, and maybe the symptoms just look a little bit different. And I'm wondering if there's just something like that.
I don't know. But really, the question is what to do with it, because it's certainly unplayable. I saw up David Elliott put here in the chat, Hendo blowing up on the third time through the lineup. Sarah Sanchez posted the stats. And so Yeah, and you could just see that. Like, the first time he gets a little weak contact, second time they start hitting line drives, third time it's like, you know, leaving the ball yard is what we're seeing. But what to do? Because it's, if you can't let him through the second time through the lineup, then that makes you a bullpen guy. That makes you somebody who might be valuable, like Hayden Wesneski was today, or less so even, because Hayden, I think, made it two times through the order. But
well, I was going to say maybe he becomes an opener. I mean, mm-hmm. if you have to have him on this team, and he is a starter, and that's the only thing he's ever known how to, like, prepare for, and I'm all for that. I'm not denigrating him saying that's the only thing he can prepare for. I'm saying that's normal. Let him do that. And then, but just let him pitch two times, a time and a half through the order, and then go to your bullpen. Right away. Go to your long man. Why?
I mean, look at Drew Smyly. I mean, he was mostly a starter in his career. Now he's in the bullpen. Everybody had the same attitude about it, maybe less so than with Kyle. But he's been able to go back there and take multiple innings. Why wouldn't you want to not go into a game being like, well, this guy's only going to give me like two innings? You know, why would you want to go into the game with that plan when you could just have Assad being like, hey, if he has a good day, he might go eight. You know what I mean? Jordan Wicks today. Like, who are you going to kick out of this rotation? Ben Brown the other night. I mean,
look.
To
Danny,
let him do this, you know?
My scenario is this rotation right now. When Tyone comes back, Hendo's got to go.
Tyone is slated to start tomorrow.
Then Hendo's got to go. I'm sorry. I don't want that to be the case.
Go where, yeah, though? To the bullpen or to the glue factory?
I would say try him in the
fake
bullpen.
IL?
The fake IL would be the best thing for right this moment. But when he comes back, I would try him in the bullpen. Let him have the fake IL time to get his mind straight about working out of the bullpen so that when he comes back, maybe he can be effective an inning or two.
The Mets, I mean, I don't know if they can fake IL so much. Bill says fake IL too. I don't know if they can do that much because that Mets guy got in trouble for doing it too much. Remember, we were like, why weren't we doing this? Oh, he got in trouble.
there's a overdoing it. Obviously, you're going to get in trouble, but the Cubs are known for not putting guys on the injured list, even when they're injured. Like, they're known for just being shitty at that. So I don't think you're going to raise any eyebrows if you put Kyle Hendricks, who did have a shoulder thing, and all you have to do is say dead arm, right? What the fuck even is a dead arm? No other place in the world. You can't go to the doctor and be like, doctor, my arm hurts, and get a diagnosis of dead arm. They're not going to do that for you, Danny. They're not going to do it for me. That doesn't fucking exist except for as a pitcher. So if there's no true way to say what it is, he's got a dead arm.
Yeah,
put him on the 10-day.
You got an acute case of suckitis.
You've got a bunch of extra balls, Kyle. I think it's messing with your how you're swinging your legs through there. Lots of balls down there.
So Terry says Hendricks is older with a history of shoulder trouble. I think we can get by with. I think he's going to say other people.
I think it is the only thing missing there.
Well, let's talk about what's actually happening with some, because there's more injuries. Suzuki's injured. That really hurts. They've been able to win without him, except for last night where they should have won. Man, that really hurts. Going to be a month. It's that same thing. Remember when he came in all freaking swole last year for spring training? That was oblique, too. It took him about a month then as well. So, but that
he took 6 weeks last year. But from what I've been gleaning from everything that I've been looking around at, last year he couldn't even work. Like, when he went down, he could not train at all. He had to just get better. This year, the it's so mild that he can somehow he can start rehabbing right away, doing different stuff. Whereas last year, that wasn't the case. He had to actually take like 2 weeks off before he could start rehabbing. So that being said, cross our fingers that it's not so bad.
That's, yeah. Well, and this was the whole thing, though. You have this outfield depth. So up comes Canario. Here, let me put up the transactions. There's a bunch of them. Merriweather got moved to the 60-day, which a lot of people were expecting because it opens up the 40-man spot. That's what allows you to bring Colton Brewer up from the Iowa Cubs because he was not on the 40-man, I don't think. Oh, Hayden Wisniewski was on the 40-man, and then he comes up from the Cubs today, does a great job on no sleep. Luke Little was optioned after that weird pitch that you mentioned, and a bunch of wild pitches. I mean, he had looked good and hadn't given up any runs, and then he looked like he had never pitched a baseball before, like in one game.
And then everybody getting on Amaya about this. Look, Amaya's out there with control and 87 miles per hour. That's what he's catching. And then all of a sudden, a dude comes in just wildly slinging 97 mile per hour fastballs into the dirt in front of him. I don't think you can hold that against Amaya too much. That's a huge difference.
I do wish he caught those balls. That would have been.
We all wish he had caught those balls. Absolutely. But, and maybe if he just catches one or two. But I felt bad for the kid because, yeah, you got the guy throwing the ball exactly, you know, or basically where he wants it. And then Luke Little just seemed like he was all over the place. No idea where that ball was going.
Yeah, well, that whole inning was a mess. There were errors. The ball got thrown away by Amaya. That led to a run. Like, that was just a nightmare inning. I think they scored six in that inning.
Yeah, I think it was four. I think four. They scored four, and then we took a one-run lead, and then they scored four more in that inning.
Oh, yeah. It all blended. I fell asleep at last night's game.
It was 12-11 at the end.
Yeah.
How can you forget 12 runs? Came all over the place.
When I fell asleep, it was 11-8, and I fell asleep watching the game. So I woke up, and the iPad was dead, and my phone was in my hand. And I looked at my phone, and I was like, fuck. It was like 3 in the morning.
I went to bed. It was 8-5, and it just – everything looked terrible. And I'm like, you know what? I can't stay up for this. I'm going to bed. When I woke up and saw that people were talking about – the Cubs had actually come back and then blew it. I didn't know what was going on.
Yeah, they gave us false hope first, like jerks. So then, Daniel Palencia, he got sent back to to Iowa. So, and that's fine. You know, he came up, gave a gutsy performance right away, did multiple innings, which I didn't know he could do. And then he started to stink and they got rid of him, which is exactly how the Iowa shuttle should work. Yeah. Alexander Canario came up, and you love to see this kid get a chance. He played today, right? He got a hit. He played two games, I think, so far here. Let me see what he did today. Nothing. He came in for Mastroboni. It was last night that he came in. I think he had a hit. And so he came up, and the Cubs also picked up Julio Teheran on a minor league deal. The Mets released him. So I'll put up his numbers. You can take a look at. I mean, this guy, he's not that old. He's in his Jesus year, 33 years old. He was with the Mets. They let him pitch 2.2 innings. He racked up a whip of 3 in that time. he didn't really pitch that much. It was one game, you know. Right. So, and he started that game and it didn't go well. So they got rid of him. He was with Milwaukee last year. He was okay. 71 innings, 440 earned run average. I don't know what's in the tank with this guy.
I don't know either. Somebody posted in the Discord, I think, that since last year, Milwaukee being the first team that dropped him, 6 teams have dropped him. And that's through the fall. Like, you know, oh, well, we'll claim him. And then he doesn't do anything. And they're like, yeah, we're going to get rid of him. And then another team's like, we'll claim him. And he doesn't do anything because it's the off season still. And they're like, yeah, maybe we don't want him. And then somebody else claims him. And then maybe we don't want him.
Yeah, he was. I remember him being pretty good with the Braves, and the numbers kind of bear that out. That younger in his career, that he had ERAs under four, even under three in 2014 when he was an all-star, again in 2016. But as you well know, 2016 was quite some time ago.
Yeah, it was very long. Feeling longer every day.
But we need the help, because let me put up another stat for you. He's not coming up to the team yet. You need another 40-man spot for him. But I'll put up what Michael Cerami posted. He says, this is not good. This is as of this morning. Cubs starters, 78 innings pitched. Cubs relievers, 73.2 innings pitched. Then he goes on to editorialize, that's not how it's supposed to go.
I don't know that that's editorializing. I think that's an actual fact. It is not how it's supposed to go.
Exactly.
That is a statement that rings true on every level,
I guess. So unless you're the Rays or something. The next guy's numbers I'm putting up is somebody that just came up to the team, and this is all his numbers from the minors and everything. It's Colton Brewer, and he's been a baseball player for quite some time. Back and forth between the majors, there's five seasons and a total of 84 games.
Have you reached out to Eric Wheelo to get his take on Rat Face now managing another Brewer?
Oh, yeah. Do you think he's jealous? He's like, oh, I can't believe he's managing a Brewer in a Cubs uniform.
Yep. He's going to be out there on that mound with Brewer across his back in very tiny letters so nobody can tell what it says. And we need to just take a picture and send that to Wheelo every time we see him.
You know, we got the Brewers at the end of the month or at the beginning of May. I think that maybe Colton Brewer can just put his shirt on backwards and deke the other team. They think he's on their team. So anyway.
That would be some Little League dumb shit right there.
His last name is Cubs. Well, this is Colton Brewer's numbers. In the major leagues, he has an ERA around 5. In the minors, he has an ERA around 4. In Japan, he's got an ERA around 2. So that's all you need to know. The majors are hard.
The majors are hard, yes.
And we'll see. I mean, we need ARPs. And this guy, at least he knows what he's doing. And sometimes you got to, I think, defer to the veteran for a job like this, where you just need somebody who kind of knows what they're doing, going to give you some professional middle relief innings when you need them, and not rely on Luke Little, who's still kind of learning everything. Let Luke Little become, I think, what is going to be a incredible reliever and a shutdown reliever out of the pen eventually in his career. This is not the year, but this is the year where he emerges, you know, but you got to let him do that. You can't throw him out there and underneath duress constantly and expect it to go well. And that he's going to retain his confidence too.
Yeah, exactly. And what I think is funny, like all this stuff we're talking about, and it's I don't want to say it's doom and gloom, because we're just talking about what is happening with this team and all this stuff. They're 11-7 right now. They are a half game back of the Brewers. This is what I was thinking today. Last year, we went through April, and I think we were just over 500. And everybody was like, oh my God, we might have something. This is good. This year, we are already 4 games over 500 in 17. And everybody's like, oh, they should be better than this.
Yeah.
Like, it's just such a different feeling. You know what I mean? Like, one team barely made 500, and we were like, they're doing awesome because we didn't expect them to get here. And then this team, we're like, no, we see how good they could be if they just didn't have, like, Steele going down and Seiya going down and Hendricks dying on the mound every single time he goes out there. Like,
yeah, it's gone better. And you're facing good teams. It's not like you're hitting the A's, and you know, the only really bad team you faced was the Rockies.
Right. So. And they swept them, which is exactly what they should do. And you remember last season, didn't the Rockies sweep the Cubs late in the year? Like, I know the Diamondbacks did, but I'm pretty sure the Rockies did too. So they were terrible.
Let me get into the chat here too. Mike Waller with a good point from the Cubs PS Plus podcast, and not to be rude about it, but with Brewer, you can overuse him if you need to, and you're not wrecking a kid. Yeah. that's why John Baker pitched in that game to save Strope's arm. Or no, Strope did pitch in that game, but they didn't want him to like do another inning and have him be on the shelf or get hurt.
And if you ask Brewer if that's okay, he's going to be like, hell yeah, you put me out there as much as you want because that's where I want to be. And I'm whatever, 33 years old. And at this point, I just want innings in the big leagues.
Yeah.
I'll take them as much as I can get.
Yeah, exactly. Little Everett Yoakum III here in the chat says, happy 20th anniversary of Home on the Range. Everybody yodel for the Cubs. Ready? One, two, three.
That was
Cubs.
Terrible.
sorry, everybody, but we had to do it. It's the law. So all right, we should, on that note, take a break. When we come back, well we got to do who's that cubby. We got to talk about
a few more things.
But we also need to take a break, mostly because I'm really thirsty. So let's do it.
Who's that cubby?
Easy. Easy.
It's a pitcher.
It's like kindergarten.
What'd you say?
This is like kindergarten.
You know what? When I first picked this one, I thought it was going to be hard, and it is not hard at all.
No. So obvious. So put your answers in the chats. We're going to play a quick commercial right now for Patreon. It's how we keep the lights on here at the podcast. It costs money to make this show, and we love money, and we love you. So give us some of yours.
Other people love money more than we do, and we have to give it to them.
Yeah, patreon.com/sunranto. It's only $1 to join us, but here's a commercial.
All over Chicagoland, there are thirsty, frazzled, overworked Cubs podcasters who are struggling to survive one more baseball season in the dog-eat-dog world of unpaid content creation. But it doesn't have to be this way. You can make a difference. Become a super ranter at patreon.com/sunranto, where your support ensures that poor, sad, pathetic, ugly, loser Cubs podcasters can pay for tickets and beer, and in turn, line the pockets of the baseball oligarch Ricketts family. Just $1 a month can buy a scorecard. $5 a month can pay for guitar strings to write a Cubs song. And $10 a month almost buys one beer at Wrigley Field. Cubs content creators are the lowest pieces of pond scum garbage that slither over the face of this planet. But super ranters help them get drunk and screw off at baseball games. What do you get out of it? The Sun Ranto Show, delivered to your podcatcher, without stupid advertisements like the one you're seeing and hearing right now. Plus, at other Super Ranter levels, you can get Cubs music, access to private Sun Ranto pages, the Ranter calendar, and special thanks and Ranter recognition in our live broadcasts, plus eligibility for monthly prizes. What does Sun Ranto get out of it? Your money. For tickets and beer. Go to patreon.com/sunranto. That's patreon.com/sunranto. And become a Super Ranter today.
Do you ever find yourself longing for long walks and talks about catcher metrics? How about a coffee or a run differential? Maybe a candlelit dinner dissecting what exactly is the curious case of Miles Mastroboni? If you have, I have just the place for you, the Cubs PS Plus podcast. Come join us. Cubs PS Plus, the Northside Numbers game, can be found wherever it is you get your podcasts. And on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube, all at Cubs PS Plus, a spin on the baseball metric OPS Plus. Are you ready? I'm ready. Here we go.
Hello. The Sun Santo Show, the Chicago Cubs, 69 Best Postcard. Take care.
All right. So we have a bunch of guesses, and nobody got this correct.
What?
We have Chafin in here. We got Suter.
Chafin.
We've got Mitch Williams.
Chafin. Wasn't Samarja? Chavin was a lefty.
Samarja. And I told everybody they're all wrong because it is Yu Darvish.
Yeah, finally somebody guessed. Facebook user, whoever Facebook user is, you can identify yourself, but you got it right.
This is a big clue is the fact that there is nobody in these stands. So you know it's 2020, right? You know, it has to be a player from that era. And then, you know, I don't know. Yu Darvish is just, when I made him into a silhouette, I was like, that's really very much Yu Darvish.
No one in the stands could be a White Sox game. You just don't know.
True. But so not against the Cubs, though.
So I do want to thank all our Patreon subscribers for bringing us this show. There's 108 of you. You guys freaking rock. Join us, patreon.com/sunranto. There's a prize every single month. It's the Patreon prize of the month. And what it includes is an In the Clutch shirt. And they've got all sorts of great styles and everything. But one that you might want to pick up right now is the Three Finger Brown shirt. Let me see if I got a picture of it here. Right here. It's the Browns twirling hand. This is from an old ad. This is if you go to intheclutch.com/sunranto, you can find it there. And I think that's where it is. In the Clutch. Oh, the Sunranto Show. That's where you can find it. I'll drop the link in the chat right now. But this is from an old advertisement, advertising that Brown was pitching that day. It's like, come see the fabulous Three Finger Brown, and it's Brown's twirling hand, and it's got his mangled hand. Anyway, I've gotten many a compliment on this shirt so far, mostly from sick people. So I know there's a lot of you guys out there that
it's people who don't even know anything about the Cubs. They just get off on mangled hands, but they just really dig that. You've gotten into that kink group.
Yeah, exactly. It's the same as the furries. You know, I always appeal to them every time I dress up in my Cubs costumes. But the not only do we now have another Brown on the team, Five Finger Brown, which finally I think it's catching on. By the way, I think people are enjoying that. I retweeted a nickname thing that for Brown that Bleacher Nation had put out, and I saw a lot of people digging on the Five Finger Brown. I think we're making this happen. I think it's out there in the stratosphere now.
I don't know how it wasn't already a thing the second he became a Cub. And B, if we're the first ones to, where is everybody? What are they doing to not immediately go with Five Finger Brown?
Well, I just think that you're taught not to like talk about people's deformity. But the fact is, you're supposed to have five fingers. And for example, Everett out here.
To be fair, you're supposed positive. To have 10, yeah. But.
Well, it's four fingers and a thumb on each hand. So eight.
I mean, we actually called him Five Finger Abbott.
Abbott was missing a whole hand, and you wouldn't.
That's
only
what I'm
one.
Saying. That's why he was Five Finger Abbott.
There was another guy too, Pete Gray. Was that his name, Pete Gray?
Oh, I don't know.
Pete Gray, he had one arm too, and he played in the major leagues. I was always fascinated by that guy growing up. Anyway, tomorrow, if you look at your rancher calendar, and I'll bring it down here and show everybody, on April 17th, it is the anniversary of Mordecai Brown losing his fingers. So pick – no, wait, sorry, today. Today's April 17th. Today is the anniversary, so pick it up today. Today is Three Finger Brown Finger Day.
And I love Everett Tosher says, a friend of mine's ex-wife was born with three fingers on each hand, toes too. Now, I know this is not what you mean, but that sentence tells me that she had three fingers and three toes on each hand, which is amazing.
Which is the same as Alfonseca.
Yeah, how come I remember that being a thing, but maybe it's because social media wasn't out there. Like, he really should have been Six Fingers Alfonseca.
Six Finger Antonio. So,
Six Finger Tony? I like that.
Six Finger Tony. And then you have Terry E. here in the chat. Pete Gray ironically played for the Browns. It all comes full circle.
There we go.
And did you see those conjoined twin ladies died?
I did. The oldest conjoined twins. Yeah.
They were 14. No, just
I mean, you know what I'm really happy about, though, that they both died at the same time.
Yeah, that'd be awkward. Just dragging them around, crying all the time because you miss them.
I know. Every
you forget they're dead. You start talking to them. You got to smell them rotten there. Oh, it'd be terrible.
We are all going to hell.
I know. Well, the other ones got married.
Yeah.
The other conjoined twins. Like, it's funny that I could just be like the conjoined twins. Everybody knows exactly who I'm talking about. I don't even have to say their names because there's only, you know, it's a rarity. But
yeah, because all the other ones died. They all die like very early if that's an issue that they have.
You know, the famous ones, Chang and Ang Bunker, like the ones, the reason that they used to be called Siamese twins. Those famous dudes from Siam, the brothers.
I had no idea that's why they were called Siamese twins. Yeah. I just assumed it was some racist thing that I didn't understand as a kid.
No, they were actually these dudes from Siam who they worked for Ringling Brother, and they ended up actually, they were born in the 1800s. They ended up in the South, and they actually owned slaves. These Siamese twins. And here's the messed up thing. After they freaking died. Wait,
No. Here's the other messed up thing.
Here's the other messed up. Dude, they were married to sisters. They fathered children. They had these wild lives. Chang and Ang Bunker. Go look them up. Everybody should go look it up. They really had these wild lives. But and they performed in the sideshow. But then,
this is amazing right now.
They died. Like,
last time we found out that you haven't seen Field of Dreams, and this time we find out it's because you spent all your time researching conjoined twins.
I did. And then I wrote a whole musical about it. It's also a true story. Maybe we'll get back to that project someday. Here's what I was going to say. The Chang and Ang Bunker, when they died, the doctors, they said, okay, could we, what was going on? Where were they attached? Because they, at that time, you know, no anesthetic and, you know, just modern science. They were dead. No vital organs were shared. Like, they could have done that operation even like in 1830, except for the fact that they would have done it with, like, you know, unclean hands, that you're taking your chances with that. You know, they probably could have been fine. But anyway, we digress slightly.
Wow. We have gone off the rails at times. This might be one of the furthest we've ever gone.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about other sideshow acts, Nick Madrigal.
Yeah. Well, I have video. Can I just show this
little
video? Little Tom Thumb at their P.T. Barnum's circus. So the other day he comes to the plate, and I know you hate, and I do too, hate that Nick Madrigal keeps getting put in the game late for Christopher Morel. And we could talk about this in just a second. But here's one of the reasons why. It's because sometimes when he gets put in the game for defense, he actually has to take it at bat at a critical moment. And this was one of those moments. And here's what Nick Madrigal did.
So that was one thing. But this time, like, I don't have that money. So I don't know. You know, I wouldn't do that.
That's my wife. So he check swings. And then he appeals his own swing. He appealed his own check swing, which was actually a swing, at which point he was said to have swung. And was that he got struck out on that pitch or no? He did.
Oh, yeah.
Was that the pitch he got struck out on, or was it like strike two? I forget. Either way, what an idiot.
I think it was strike two, because isn't that the game? Wait, which game was that?
That was the first game of this series. We actually won this game, I believe.
Okay.
I think. I'm not sure. Somebody help me out in the chat.
I thought it was the one where he hit into the double play. And
that was last night. I mean, now it's all starting to blend together.
It was two nights ago, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
He hit into the late double play because, And then in Clown Ball, he had to start on second base.
And he couldn't score.
And he didn't score because he thought the shortstop was 12 feet tall.
Yeah. He was going to catch the ball, so he holds up. Now, I don't know if he could have scored anyway because he's got those – I mean, he's supposedly somewhat fast, but he certainly doesn't look fast because he's, you know, got those little Fred Flintstone legs starting his car. Like, I hear it with the sound effects.
I absolutely do now, too. Danny, this is – not only has he ruined me watching him play baseball, but you made it worse because you brought up that it's Fred Flintstone, and he absolutely looks like Fred Flintstone running in that cartoon.
I mean,
and if people don't know, it's a cartoon from 50 fucking years ago now that we are talking about that Nick Madrigal looks like.
I mean, there was the modern Flintstones with John Goodman and stuff like that. So
he didn't run like Madrigal.
No, I don't think John Goodman can run.
John Goodman, otherwise known as Babe Ruth.
So, so that was a dumb thing that happened. The other thing that I don't like Madrigal on the team. I don't know what happens when you start, like, let's say Canario starts hitting, you know, and he looks good. And then Saya comes back. Like, can we please,
Wisdom.
Wisdom's going
to come Wisdom's back. Coming up, like, back tomorrow. Somebody has to leave this team to go to Iowa and –
I bet you it's Canario.
It has to be Madrigal. He doesn't make any sense on this team. Canario plays outfield. You need a fourth outfielder because you've only got three of them right now. You need Canario out there, and he can also DH, and he hits the ball hard. Miles Mastroboni can play second, short, and third. He can do all those things. He hits the ball harder. He's a better all-around baseball player than Nick Madrigal. Why would you not? I mean, my guess, because I think Jed Hoyer hates me, Mystery Boner is going back to Des Moines. And we're going to have Madrigal up here for no reason.
He's had Mystery Boner's had a rough time of it as well. He's really stunk.
But he's being used, and this is so funny because last year I'm all like, fuck Mystery Boner, he doesn't even, and this year I'm like defending, like, he's being used incorrectly and they need to use him right. And they really do. The poor guy, like, I was just angry last year because they kept putting him in instead of Morel, and that's what pissed me off. But he is he should be taking one day at second, maybe one day at short, maybe one day at third. You can get him 3 days a week and get all those guys either a day off or a DH day. And you are saving legs early in the season.
Well, and they're talking – I was listening to Craig Counsell today, and he was talking about guys kind of getting tired, getting them off their feet, and it was kind of refreshing to at least hear him talking about that, you know, as something that he's realizing, because they were talking about it in terms of Wisniewski being tired. He's like, but we got a lot of guys that, you know, they've been out there every day. Like, even Cody Bellinger, even though he hasn't been hitting, he's been playing center field. He's been running all around. Like, you know, you got to give these dudes a day off to keep them fresh. Otherwise, it's just going to get worse. And it's, you know, so it's just nice to hear him managing a team. Whereas we didn't see, like, David Russell, like, get your ass out there. You know,
well,
Merriweather's hurt right now because he pitched like in every single game last year.
Yeah, no, and I'm absolutely ready for a Dansby day off.
Yeah.
A day off for Dansby is, I think, needs to happen. Again, another guy being used incorrectly. He's great in the field, of course, but he's not hitting for shit. And
batting
they put him
in
second? As soon as Saya went out, they moved him up to second?
That was rough, yeah. Nobody understands that.
Right. And then Horner actually does start to hit, and he's down, probably still too high for Dansby, but he's down in the order. Like, Dansby needs to be in the 7-8-9 spot and just leave him there.
Horner, you know, it's funny. Horner hit that ball the other day that was up at his chin, you know, and he, like, drove it out into left field, and that was a big
hit. Oh, yeah, that was amazing.
Yeah, it was a big hit in the game, and it really kind of, I believe, was that the game winner?
That was, like, the game winner.
Yeah. And so, you know, as you see that ball, and that's what I like to see out of Horner, because that's who he's supposed to be, that leadoff guy that could just kind of get to the ball and do what you need to with it and be like the slap hitter. We don't need you to hit home runs. You know, we just need you to get on base. And you know, he has those bat to ball skills, the contact skills. And so that's what's nice to see about it. I mean, with Dansby, it's a little tougher, you know. But it's tough to know where to put Dansby because he does have some pop, but the OBP is not really there to be that high up. But it's like you want to protect him in some ways, but you also
see, and you know. That's why I think if he's later in the order, if he's in that 7, 8, 9, it's a mental thing too, right? Like for the pitcher, like, oh, we're in the bottom of the order. These guys aren't. I can. It's not going to be quite as hard this inning because I'm going 7, 8, 9 and you got a guy like Dansby out there that can crush one. Like that's kind of where I think that works really well for him. Like he's just sort of unassuming back there. And if you could get 15 home runs from your 7 or 8 guy, that's awesome. And then he doesn't have to do too much. And right now with Saya was the number 2 guy. Absolutely 100%. And he should be there when he gets back. But right now, you should have Hap up top, Horner second, unless you want to do that lefty-righty thing, which I don't even understand, because Hap is just hitting the shit out of the ball right now. But
well, I don't know about that. I mean, Hap's batting 247. You know, he was taking his walks a little bit.
Well, I guess in the last, like, 3 days.
0 for 4 today, you know. Did hit the dong last night, the big fly with the 4 run scoring. Bellinger just got his
well, and he hit those,
though. So
he hit those yesterday from the 7th spot, I think.
But look at your 2 and 3 hitter. They got OPSs in the 6. Morel does, too, because he really has been slumping since they went out west. I'm looking forward to a little home cooking. But, you know, look at those OPSs. Until you get to Michael Busch batting 6th. No, 5th. Wait, 1, 2, 3. Yeah, 5th.
Yeah, and look, while he's hot and Saya's not here, put Busch number 2. Why not?
I don't know about 2. I mean, Busch is your cleanup. I mean, but keep moving Busch up. This guy does nothing but hit. I mean, he hit 5 straight. We didn't even talk about this, and this is a huge story. He hit 5 home runs in a row, and then he almost hit a 6th and almost a 7th. He had a foul ball today that could have gone, and it was just foul. But he smacked the crap out of that ball. And so, like, why is he batting down there? Maybe that's why he's hitting these home runs, because he's buried a little bit. But, like, it just doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
Well, and that's what happened with Hap, hitting his home run and getting – and he had that – like, when he was buried, he was down there in the 6th to 7th spot or whatever he was. He had a good game. I think he had 3 hits, and one of them was a grand slam or something.
Yeah.
You know? And maybe it is because he was down at the bottom of the order. But Hap does so much at the top of the order. And, again – you pointed out in a Cubs pod that it may be the lefty righty thing for him and Horner. I'm fine with that if that's the reason. But don't be doing it because for no other reason. And Hap shouldn't go all the way to 7 from but Hap shouldn't go from 1 to 7.
Right.
He should go 1 to 2.
Yeah. Yeah, but then you have him batting right-handed. So, I mean, you're not going lefty. I mean, I don't put as much stock into that. I think it depends on the pitcher specifically. I mean, I'm putting up the lineup today. It was Hap, Swanson, which we don't like. Bellinger, that makes sense. He'll get going. Morel's 3rd batting cleanup. That makes all the sense. Busch 5th. I mean, I don't hate that. It all works well. I mean, it's kind of Horner that I would move up. Even Tauchman, who led off very successfully last year, went 2 for 4 today. Like, you know, why not him? You know, and also, can we talk about like outfield today? We won, so I'm not gonna freaking cry too much. Can we talk? And I think Mastroboni needs a start here and there, especially on a getaway day. I get it; these guys got to play. Dude goes 0 for 4 playing left while Tauchman was playing right. I mean, dude, Mastroboni is not a left fielder. What the hell does Canarios have to do to get in this lineup?
Yeah, that's
better.
Poor mystery boater. Like, why are they doing this to him? Because none of the guys, you know, they pull Morel out and give Madrigal starts at third, which is stupid. And I don't think Mastroboni should be taking starts at third either. But if it was one of those things, like I said earlier, you give him a start at second, you give him a start at short, you give him a start at third just to get these guys off their feet every so often, that's great. But yeah, he's not an outfielder. Why are you putting him out there? And when you have an outfielder sitting on your bench waiting to play, yeah, it's insane. Like, yeah, I don't understand how that works. And what you were saying before with like where they go, I honestly, Dansby and Belly need to move down the order right now. Bellinger should be a three hitter. He is not right now. And if you did that, you move everybody up a little bit. And, you know, maybe you have Tauchman at second, but Morel can be your three guy and Bush can be your four guy, or flip flop, you know, them. If
I like setting it for now. And then if it's,
I like setting it for now too. But when they got rid of Seiya, you had to make a change. Yeah. Everything had to switch. And I just think that they made the wrong choice.
So we got to go to commercial. But before we do, I want to point out that Ranterfest tickets are on sale. You get it at sunranter.com/ranterfest. I've spent my whole week telling all the different blogs and podcasts and, like, you know, Cubs media, minor celebrities, you know, about it, and getting people.
You don't
show
say.
Up. No, your invitation's in the mail. but what we're turning this into is really going to be something special, you know, as we're trying to put this together. It's going to be really a lot more about that, especially that Saturday event. We're doing the comedy on the Friday night, Bleacher Bum Band on Friday night. That's going to be a good party. But Saturday, I ordered the live bitch clock. So we're going to be doing live bitch clock with, you know, some of the different bloggers that are showing up. You know, we'll be spinning the wheel. We'll have that. We'll have trivia. It's going to turn into a big organized birthday party for ourselves in a way. And instead of it being really a live podcast, we're going to be shooting the 1,000th episode that day that we're going to release later as the actual 1,000th episode. So basically, you will then be involved in the filming / recording of our 1,000th episode. Because we'll deal with that later. We're just there to have a party and have fun and celebrate you guys and the ranters and us. So I was like, okay, well, I need to step up my promotion. So let me make a Ranter Fest logo. So I went to AI and I said, all right, let me try this out. I'll use my like four free ones that you get before you got to pay. And I said, give me a Cubs related logo for Ranter Fest, maybe incorporate the city of Chicago. I like put in a couple of commands. I don't really know what I'm doing. And boy, it came up with some doozies.
I can't wait. I haven't seen these yet.
Oh yeah. No, yeah. Here's the first one. I think it's pretty good.
Oh my God. This logo, first off, the great thing about AI is that even though it cannot make letters or spell, it attempts it. Regardless. Yeah. And so it's got all these crazy letters around a circle. And then that bear looks like its head went into the same thresher that Three Finger Brown's hand went into.
Yeah, seriously. Three Finger Sloth.
Three Finger Sloth Brown. Bear.
So that's the first one. And here's another one that it came up with. This one's, it looks like a, to me, it looks like a female tiger.
It does. It looks like a kind female of like lion. A tiger's female head lion. Or a lion's head on a bear's body with a dog's tail, because it definitely looks like it's a wagging tail. And of course, it says Chatu-eyed reindeer. That's my closest guess.
Okay, here's the third one. And this one's kind of, this looks like a bear wearing a fox mask or a griffin.
That's a griffin.
And then this last one, I don't understand at all. It's got a big dragon, but it does say Ranter Fest. So I'm thinking this is the one.
It says Ranter Fest, and then right under it, maybe Electrocutioner. Yeah.
Yeah. Random Fest Electric. There's mountains in the back and a big chimera.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, so that's, those are wonderful.
Yeah. So really, so we don't need people at all anymore. Those were great.
those are going to be the Ranter Fest. What are they? Koozies? Not koozies. The thing you put your drink on so you don't get a circle on your table.
Yeah. And that's the other thing I wanted to bring up is we're doing swag bags. So if you get it, if you get a ticket, you'll get a swag bag. We're getting stickers. And what's the other thing we got? Wristbands. Yeah, the wristbands. The
Ranter Fest wristbands so that you can see ranchers out in the wild and you'll know it's them.
Yeah, it'll be our little secret. Then we should get biker jackets. That's next. So, all right, well, we're going to play a quick commercial for In the Clutch because they're a sponsor of this show. They give away a shirt to the Patreon of the month. Join us there and buy their shirts. They got a lot of great fun stuff. If you go to our page there, which is the intheclutch.com/sunrantoshow, you can find all sorts of great stuff. So here we go. Here's a commercial.
If you like the Cubs a bunch, buy your t-shirts from In the Clutch. We've got all the best styles for you. Dansby Seiya, Morel too. Clark Fly in his W. Cody Bellinger, smoking dudes. Vintage shirts from days of old. Patrick Wisdom and Nico. You'll look sharp wearing your stro. 10% off with the code S-O-N-R-A-N-T-O. S-O-N-R-A-N-T-O. InTheClutch.com is your store for the most fun baseball shirts on the planet. Don't forget to use promo code SUNRANTO to knock a couple bucks off your purchase. Stack or die, we need more cups. Get it all at In the Clutch. Cause if you like the Cubs a bunch, buy t-shirts from In the Clutch. Get it all at In the Clutch. Get it all at In the Clutch.
This is Fergie Jenkins. You're listening to Sean Randall, the 69th Best Cup Podcast.
Oh, Sean. What?
Welcome back to the Sean Rando Show. My name's Dave. And hashtag chance in the chat. You can win a Frank Chance postcard sent to you by me with a message of love and doom. I see a lot of you guys out there that did it. Bill Sugis out there hashtag chanced me. Who else did? A lot of people. Oh, Corey Furlong, he hashtag chanced and also said, Wednesday? Don't you know I'm a man of routine? Yeah, well, tomorrow there's a game. Jameson Taillon on the mound at Wrigley Field. And it's going to be kind of cold tomorrow night, but you're going to have to listen to Cubs Pod to find out about all that. Anyway, thanks for tuning in tonight. I always forget to say this. If you wouldn't mind, wherever you're watching this, like it and then share it. And then that helps us somehow in the algorithm of the AI universe that's busy designing the most amazing logos you ever did see.
Yeah.
So I got some stats. We got the Marlins coming to town. The Cubs are coming home. And Skip Schumacher is their manager. Remember him?
Yeah. Skip to my shoe. Remember that guy?
Skip to my shoe. He was a Cardinal. We hated him. And now we can hate him in a different way, except for the fact that they really stink. I don't know if they won today, if you want to look that up real quick, or somebody tell me in the chat. But they were 0-9 to start the season.
They are 4-15 right now, so they did not win today.
They lost. So
but they might be playing tonight too.
They were 4-14 last night. They're 4-15 now, so they lost today. And they were 0-9, which scares the crap out of me, frankly. Because if baseball is going to baseball,
because your astat nerve is tingling. You're just getting that like regression, but that what did Theo say? But that works in our favor.
Regression is a powerful thing. In this case, it works in our favor.
That's not how regression ever works, but sure.
See the Marlins, and they did it last year. Do you remember? If you remember some of the Marlins series of last year, There was the one where we blew a couple leads with Michael Fulmer and Boxberger and whatever the hell we had last year, the nine-headed hydra of death. And then you had so you blew a couple leads last year. They came into Wrigley. I believe we won the Friday game and then blew a few more. It's just the Marlins, like the Rockies, I'm shocked we took 2-3 in Arizona. That never happens. The Cubs have a losing record in Arizona Stadium, and the Rockies aren't that good in general.
Yeah.
Like, for years, they're not always good. Like, you know, and we have a losing record there. Even when they're bad, we do poorly there.
It's a weird place to play. It's I think one thing that actually helped the Cubs in Arizona this time, they had the roof open, as they should do more often, but they're usually not there at a time of year when the roof can be open. I think JD and Shit Bambi were talking about the fact that, like, they'd never actually called a game with the roof open.
Mm. Yeah. That makes sense, because we're usually not there in April. I think the only April I can remember being there is when Kyle Schwarber died.
Yes.
That was it.
And I think the roof was closed.
Yeah.
That's why he died.
Yeah,
because I remember they couldn't bring the chopper in through to medevac him out of there.
So these are early season team numbers that I'm looking at here, but their third worst OPS. This is the Marlins. Fifth worst in homers, which tracks. Fifth worst in walks, average in strikeouts and stolen bases. And then pitching wise, they got the fourth worst ERA. They do strike people out, but they lead the league in walks. So the Cubs need to be very patient. And they have the third worst bullpen ERA. But before you get too excited, the Cubs have the fifth worst.
Hey, I was expecting the Cubs to have worse than third, the second worst.
That's bad. They also don't have a very good defense in the Marlins. They have the fourth most errors. And the Cubs have just been average defensively with errors. But we both have below average DERS. Our defensive efficiency ratio are not good. Marlins, fourth worst. And that's a team that now has Tim Anderson on it. 691 DER for the Cubs. Little below average. Not great. And then we got they're going to throw at us, I think, Max Meyer. I don't know if that's been announced. I guessed at that one. They're going to throw. Let's see if they put it.
We won't hold it against you. But Tyone's getting that start against Max.
Oh, no, it's Puke. Puke is getting it.
Oh, Puke.
Remember AJ Puke?
Ty went on
Puck.
And
Puck. Puke. You say a puck.
Yeah. Oh, you were wondering earlier what a puck is. Uh-oh. I think
it's that guy. So
Danny is freezing.
I froze.
On me.
Can you hear me? Yeah.
I can hear you now. You're still frozen on the screen, but that's okay. Jesus Luzardo is going up against Imanaga. I'm trying to keep this thing going.
That's the game to be at.
Can you Luzardo hear me? Versus Imanaga?
I feel like I'm here.
Can you not hear me? This is amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I can hear you great.
So Luzardo versus Imanaga, that's the game you're talking about.
That's what I want to go to.
Yes.
I want to go to that game. That is the matchup of that's the matchup of the series.
And it's a Friday game. So it's a 1:20 start, which is awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, unique in and of itself. Then on Saturday, you got Edward Cabrera versus the Ass Man. So it's nice to see that he's going to remain, at least for the time being, in the rotation. And then I guess on Sunday, it would be Hendo's turn.
I don't think he makes that start. Well, no, I don't think he makes that start. The only way he makes that start is if they plan a farewell for him. He's like, they're doing the video board with, you know, game six highlights and all this stuff. And then he gets a Kerry Wood send off after throwing, after striking out the first guy he sees.
They're like, he's like, why are they holding that number 28 from the scoreboard and giving it to me? Like, this doesn't.
Why are my children here? Yes. Do I even have children?
Why is my dad crying? So anyway, that's your matchup for the, if you want a more detailed matchup, I suggest becoming a Patreon member, because you get your own RSS feed and then you get to listen to Cubs Pod, which is me, Michael, and Mike, me and the Mikes going at it, telling you what's happening.
And if you're lucky, sometimes you get the matchup for the wrong game, like I did.
Nobody cares.
The last time Imanaga did it. I mean, I was so confused when Imanaga was out there. I was like, what the hell is going on? I thought Assad was pitching tonight.
So, yeah, where were we? Oh, yeah, Cubstradamus. Now, we don't have the technology to tell you what's happening after this next series. We don't have it. But we have, over the years, employed the services of one deity known as Cubstradamus, who I can't get him live on the show anymore. Well, I'm working on it. But he is sending in his poetry to let us know what's happening next.
You say that we don't have the technology to do more than this. It's because we spent all our money on the technology to keep the smell from going through the video.
Yeah, exactly. We need to get rid of StreamYard smell-o-vision. So here's Cubstradamus with his predictions.
The Cubbies are gonna keep losing, and the bleacher bums will keep boozing. After a Monday off, the Cubs fans will scoff when they F up and get swept by Houston.
Fuck you, Cubstradamus.
Yeah, Houston's. So he's saying we're going to lose to the Marlins and then lose to Houston? That's, yeah. Houston's coming to Wrigley. So that's kind of exciting. They're a good team. They haven't been playing well either. So
I can't stand Cubstradamus. That mother, he comes in, he smells, he brings everybody down.
Yeah. He's a negative guy.
Absolutely.
Yeah. With deities like that. So I did bring up Ranterfest. It's sunranter.com/ranterfest is where you get your tickets. All the money is going to go to Lost Boys charity, and it's just a great organization run by my friend Levante. He's down on the south side. And I got to shout out Chris Salato real quick, because he used his birthday fundraiser for Lost Boys, Inc. His birthday is at the end of the month, April 27th, to be specific. And I donated not only the monthly tithe, because one of the reasons you want to become a Patreon member at patreon.com/sunrant, so it's because we give 10% of the freaking money we get to the Lost Boys, which builds community and helps out kids down in the South Shore neighborhood here in Chicago. And Chris Salato did his birthday fundraiser. It was up to, maybe $150. And then I jumped in not only with the tithe from the Patreon money, but I jumped in with the $300 also from the bracket challenge.
Yeah.
That was won by Carrie Meyer, famous ranter Carrie Meyer, just did a great job with that. So all the money went in there. And the last time I saw it, it was even more money. It was like
over $800. Yeah.
So just great job, everybody. What can I say? Awesome job. And let's keep it going. And Ranterfest is going to be all about it. Levante's coming to that. And it's going to be just a really good time. And let's I have to promote my show. Getting great reviews. Nana at Trapdoor Theater. Here's a picture from the flyer. It's a very cool show. It's in Bucktown, plays Thursday through Saturday and at 8 p.m. And you can get tickets at trapdoortheater.com. I wrote all the music. We're getting great reviews. I think you'll really enjoy it. There is light nudity you can enjoy. And I figured that's a selling point amongst the meatheads that watch our show. For a lot of people, who doesn't enjoy a good, attractive, naked person from time to time?
Right. And actually one of the ways we're selling one of the ways we're selling Ranterfest is that we promise not to be naked.
Yeah.
We won't be naked. That's a reason to come.
I can't promise that because one thing I did put on the Ranterfest's itinerary was that Crawley was going to sing Africa.
Oh.
At some point. And I doubt he keeps his shirt on.
That's true. That's
true. You're definitely going to see Crawley nipple at some point during the weekend. If not multiple times. He might grow a third nipple just to show it to you.
Oh, then it'll be three nipple brown.
Three nipple. Three nipple gene. That's the name of this episode. That's it. Three nipple G. Nobody knows how to say Crawley's last name.
Oh, I always say Dezian.
Dezine. Dezine.
Dezine.
Yeah, you can't say it without sounding like you're going to sneeze. Yeah. So I got to pick up because we're doing Cubs. We're doing the Cubsler.
Yeah, let's do the Cubsler here. So the Cubsler from last week. This Superman leapt into walls instead of over. Drafted by the Cubs in 03 and 04, played for the Cardinal, but never the Cardinals, notoriously ignored by the Cubs, but not by Joe Madden. This is the Cubs legend Sam Fold, who was known for smashing into walls instead of jumping over them. The Cubs drafted him in 03, then he went to college instead, and they liked him so much they drafted him again the next year. He played for Stanford, so that's the Cardinal, but not the Cardinals. And then once he did finally get a chance with the Cubs, they just wouldn't use him. He did nothing but good things with the Cubs, and they refused to use him. They got rid of him. Joe Madden picked him up for Tampa Bay, and he had like two or three like really good years before kind of getting injured and falling off.
Yeah. And now I think he's in the front office with, I'm looking at it right now, Phillies.
Yeah, he was, but the Cubs had something there with him and they just, it's a lot like what we saw last year. It's a lot like Canario hitting a grand slam and then sitting on the bench.
He's the, he's the GM.
Sam Fold is?
Yeah, he's the GM of the Phillies right now.
Well, and apparently he's also good at that part of baseball because the Phillies are a pretty freaking good, well-run organization right now.
I'll say this about Sam Fold, too, just kind of a random story, is that I used to teach these kids classes called Music for Aardvarks, which is a kids program in New York City. And so I would have all these moms and nannies and their kids, like toddlers, anywhere from like babies up to like, you know, 5 years old or something. I'd play all these songs. We'd sing and play music and stuff. I hated it. Oh, God. But I was wearing a Cubs hat one time and this woman comes up to me. She's like, oh, you like the Cubs? I'm like, yeah. She's like, my cousin played for the Cubs. Sam Fold.
Wow.
And so I taught Sam Fold's cousin's kid music.
So what does that make us? Absolutely losers. Nothing.
Fucking losers. The guy, yeah, a dude that didn't make it in rock and roll. I don't know. Yeah. Well, somebody who had to freaking teach kids to make a living. That's what it made me. That's what it made me.
Well, you got to get going here shortly. So
I do. I have 5 minutes.
Let's spin this wheel.
Yeah, let's spin the wheel
Todd Emmons, Artie Boucher, Brad Schmidt, Chris Salato, and Corey Furlong are all in the drawing.
I swear to God there were more people. I see these coming in.
Because they all came in really fast. Last week, Don Zimmer had like 11.
All right. Well, I'm giving a spin. One of these guys is going to win. The winner of this week's...
Oh, Artie Boucher.
Congratulations.
He has been working so hard to try and get this correct answer for a while. So let's get the new Cubsler up there so we can get moving. All right. His nephew is a distinct odor. Little E, not big Z, hit 263. Last game was played in 94. American Association MVP in 93. We're going to put that up in the... I'll put it on Twitter. I'll put it in the Discord so that you can actually look at it better. And, but yeah, but it seems a little bit tougher than the last one, right?
I don't know if you can figure out that some of those MVP stuffs, you know, if you, which should be just Googleable, but maybe it's not. I don't know. You found it out.
Yeah. Well, it's a, it's an interesting one. The American Association.
All right. So send in your Cubsler answer to sunranto@gmail.com, or you can email, or you can Twitter Sunranto Show. You can put in your guess that way as well. All right, where was I? We have to TFC out of here. And hashtag chance in the chat. Don't forget that, because we are giving away that Frank Chance postcard sent to you by me with a message of love and doom. And I do have kind of a funny thing that I saw. TFC wise, and this is, do you remember Randy Rosario?
Yes.
Yeah, he was a pitcher, a relief pitcher. Yep. Cubs gave him a shout out. I don't know what he's doing now. I didn't look up his stats, but he's still pitching in his Twitter picture. So I follow him, and all of a sudden I see that he's into Bitcoin, or not Bitcoin, Catcoin. So he's like, absolutely, number one, here you go. Exciting news for Catcoin enthusiasts. Its value is skyrocketing, bringing joy to investors and spreading optimism through the community, riding the wave of positivity. Rocket ships at hashtag Catcoin, halving 2024. There's this halving thing going on for Bitcoin bros right now. I don't fucking understand it, but it's happening. And so then also Randy Rosario, after that, he's tweeting out, coming soon, let's go give it a follow. Froggy Coin, the majestic blue king frog, ruled over the enchanted swap with wisdom and grace. Rocket chips, froggy mania, meme coin 2024. So Randy Rosario is obviously into this meme coin, Bitcoin stuff, you know. And then then the next tweet I see is this one. Can somebody help me to take out my money from here? I don't know how to do it. Please, any tips? I'm tired. And apparently he can't get his money back. I don't understand what happened, but
oh my God,
no money in his account now. And I'm not sure what happened there, Randy.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
easy come, easy go in the major leagues, I guess.
Yeah. Watch out with the Bitcoin.
Yeah. Yeah. So, anything like called like a frog wallet or something, like I'm just, you know.
Yeah. No. And, I do not have a TFC. I couldn't really find one. I went out looking for them. I even tried to troll people by asking for the Stat Bros to tell me why running on contact is better when it clearly does not work. It doesn't work. And I'm sure there are some people out there that may have thought I was going to rant about that today. But I kind of got it out of my system this morning. I was really, really freaking pissed when I saw that play last night. And it's a mess. It's the contact play is the worst play in baseball. There is no, there, and all the people who are talking about the stats back it up are the same people that say the DH was backed up by stats. And that wasn't true either.
We'll test it. We're testing it at Ranter Fest at the hungover donut brunch when we go play softball. We're going to sit there with a man on third, and we're just going to test it. We're going to see if you dive back in or if you run, what works better.
You don't even have to test it. We see it all the time with the Cubs. They are running the test with us. And oh my God, when I heard that the game was even close and it went to extra innings last night, and then I went and watched that play, I about lost my damn mind, because John Baker said they're trying to teach these guys to check the angle off of the bat. That angle off the bat, it said out. When it hit the bat and then hit the ground right below him, I heard it. It said out. And then,
well, he hit it so hard. Yeah, he hit it so hard that, and I think he probably had time to scramble back, and he certainly had time.
But he was already going, and when you're doing that, you're just setting yourself up to be beat. It was stupid. It was stupid.
I think it was stupid.
There's no way to defend it.
Freeze and see what happens, and be ready to do either one. No matter what happens, if he hits the ball, be ready to go either way. Be ready to go back. Be ready to go home. But what you won't do is stand there. You're going to go one way or the other. You know, you have to be ready to go one way or the other. And that's how it used to be. You'd be ready, like, you know, I'll do the stance. You're like this. Yeah. You're like, all right, what am I going to do? You're at third base, and this is how you should be, was waiting. Be like, I'm equally, like, ready to go right or left, you know. And then as soon as you make your decision, then you do it. You don't just automatically, no matter what, be going home, you know.
Yeah, and Danny, I'm 100% with you. That's the way it's supposed to be done, and the Cubs aren't doing it that way.
Nobody is.
And it's stupid. They're getting beat that way. Here's the big thing that gets me. All the people who are like, the numbers say that it works. You know what? Until you start to show me some numbers,
the numbers,
you can't prove that.
The numbers are going to change because of all this crap, and they'll be like, oh, but I guess it didn't work because we did
Danny,
too much.
There aren't any numbers. There aren't any numbers. Then why isn't anybody showing them to me? Same with the DH. There were no numbers on the DH. Nobody fucking showed it, Michael, and nobody is showing the DH.
What, are they going to fax you what they come up with?
No. We're online. Everybody can show the numbers, and they're like, well, the numbers prove that this blah, 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 blah. Well, if you can't show me the numbers that you're using and that they're the right numbers, then you can't say that the numbers prove that it works, because they don't. There are no fucking numbers out there that prove it.
They're telling you. They're telling John Baker. They're not telling you. They're telling
John. No, I'm talking about all the fucking morons out there who are hearing people, oh, the numbers say it works. The numbers. That's their argument. I make the argument every time the Cubs do this, they get beat, and that is a fact. You can't fucking say it's not. And their argument is, well, the numbers say. What fucking numbers? Tell me. I want to see it. So you got a little mini rant there. Trust me, I'm holding off. I'm holding back so hard right now because Danny does have to go. He's got things to do tonight.
Yeah, I looked at my phone. I got 7 freaking notifications. I got an Amazon driver at the door. I got my boss is writing me. Crawley's mad about Swanson batting second.
As he should be.
All sorts of important things I got to do.
All right. Well, you got a song for us here?
First, I got to pick a chance winner.
Oh, God damn it.
And then I got a frog coin in my throat. All right. How do I do this? Okay. Presents my – oh, that's because I'm already sharing. Okay. Hold on. Sorry, everybody. Old man trying to use
for Terry E.
technology.
Who asked, didn't John Baker last week say that there were stats to back this up?
Yeah, he did.
Okay. Stop. What else did he say, Danny? All 3 guys that did it got picked. Got
thrown out, yeah.
So you know what? Until you got numbers to show me that beat the numbers that I have, which is everybody keeps getting fucking thrown out, my numbers work better.
Hashtag chance in the chat and take a chance that you'll stop watching this show soon. Here we go.
Dude, all right, round and round we go. Who's going to win? I hope it's somebody new. We always get the same winners on this.
Bill
Sugis.
Congratulations. You've won tonight's chance postcard sent to you by me with a message of love and doom.
Bill ever won?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay, but it's been a long time. Bill doesn't win very often.
You know, so maybe next year we'll switch it up, and just because I'm always writing the messages of love and doom, maybe at the All-Star break we'll switch them up. You start writing some love and doom messages.
I can absolutely write some messages of love and doom.
I'm sure they're sick of hearing from me, because I'm just like, first of all, they can't read my handwriting. Nobody can read a thing I write because my handwriting is ass, complete ass. So we're coming back to Wrigley. I might as well play that song because that's what we're doing, and everybody seems to like that one. So
it is a good one.
Yeah. So, Spagog, thanks for tuning in. Please like us on the way out. I guess it helps people find us. And And thank you to the Bleacher Bunch Productions Fans First Network. Find our podcast, share it with your friends. Tune in next week whenever the hell we decide to go. I think probably Thursday night. And Spagog, everybody.
Spagog!
I'm coming back to Wrigley with a ticket in my hand. No ring upon my finger because I am just a fan. And I spent most of my money on sausages and beer. But I was there when they won it that year. A pressured anticipation had the city tightly wrought with a 5-3 combination as the sailing ball was caught. Half a dozen generations who would live to see the day the Cubs would take the season all the way. Now we're coming back to Wrigley.
Let's just go with